its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Today, we're really pleased to announce the beginning of our partnership with the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism here at MSU. It's one of the oldest programs of its kind in the country, and they produce the excellent online environmental news site Great Lakes Echo. Now, with this partnership, we'll be featuring conversations about environmental issues in Michigan and the Great Lakes region every Tuesday. In addition, we'll be bringing you original feature reports in the months to come from around the state of Michigan. To kick it off, we take a look at plastic floating in the Great Lakes. Scientists have conducted extensive research on the plastic-filled gyres of the ocean. Those are the swirling clusters of debris that you're apt to see in any body of water. But this summer, researchers decided to look inland and measure plastic pollution in the Great Lakes. Some of the Great Lakes water samples had concentrations of plastic greater than that anywhere else in the world. The studies resulted in several other projects which focus on the sources and the effects of plastic pollution on the Great Lakes. We're joined today by the study's leader, Dr. Sherry Mason. Sherry is a chemistry professor at the State University of New York at Fredonia. Welcome to Current State.
Hi, thank you for having me.
There are a substantial number of studies by this Five Gyres Institute, which detail oceanic plastic pollution, but the study you conducted last year is really the first to look inland and research plastic pollution in our Great Lakes. First, can you explain your research method and what exactly were you looking for?
So we collaborated with the Five Gyres Institute, and we were surveying the open waters. So there is one research group who has been looking at like near shore, essentially beach line studies of plastic debris, but we were the first to look within the open water of the Great Lakes. We use what's called a mantitrol, and it just kind of coasts along the surface layer of the water, and it's a giant net. And as the, you know, water runs through it, anything that's bigger than a third of a millimeter will be collected by the net. We run it for an hour at a time at 2 knots, so we go about 2 miles of sampling with each sample, and we pull it in. We take anything that's within the net, and we bring it back to the lab for more thorough analysis.
And what are some of the dangers, the immediate dangers of plastic pollution?
Well, I mean, there's the direct effect, which is simply, you know, that if there's plastic in your water and, you know, life relies on water, that it could make its way into the food chain. And this, again, has been bore out in kind of the oceanic studies where, you know, you find albatross birds in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and their guts are entirely filled with plastic. Similarly with sea turtles and various sperm whales and fish and all sorts of marine life in the ocean. So we know it's an issue within the oceans. We suspect that it's probably a similar issue within the Great Lakes, but we're just kind of getting started because, you know, our research was the first to actually show that there were plastics within the Great Lakes, although it wasn't a huge surprise in many ways. 35 million people live within the Great Lakes watershed. Most of us, if not all of us, use and lose plastic. You know, I probably every single one of your listeners can think of a moment when they've seen a plastic bag blowing in the wind. They've seen, you know, a cigarette lighter on the side of the street. And most of us, when we see these things, we just don't really necessarily think about what happens to them. And the reality is that they make their way into our water supply. And so they can be taken in by any organism that relies on that water. We tend to look at fish and birds because they are kind of the direct link. But, you know, certainly all of us drink water, too. So the concern is that it makes its way into the food web. And for animals that rely on that water, kind of the first impact is that it can give them a cessation that they are filled. It fills up their stomachs. They no longer think that they're hungry or thirsty, and they starve or dehydrate to death as a result of taking in that plastic directly. But there's an indirect effect as well.
Let's talk about what you found in Lake Erie. One of your findings that really stands out is the amount of plastic you found in part of the water samples from Lake Erie. The number of plastic particles in the sample was 3 times greater than any sample collected anywhere else in the world, correct?
That is correct, yeah. So we sampled Lake Superior, Lake Huron, and Lake Erie. We took a total of 21 samples between those three Great Lakes, about 8 samples in each lake. So it's not an extensive study. It's the first study, and so I think it lays an important groundwork. But certainly, you know, we didn't sample, as much of the surface area as we would like, and those are, you know, kind of steps that we plan to take in future endeavors. But one, you know, a trend that was definitely kind of noticeable, and we really wanted to sample three, you know, to sample more of the Great Lakes so that we could look at how the lakes compare to one another. And we definitely saw a trend where Lake Erie, where there was an increase in plastics as you go from Lake Superior to Lake Huron to Lake Erie. Lake Erie, by far of the three lakes that we looked at, had the highest concentrations. There were 2 samples out of the 21 that showed extremely high concentrations, even relative to what you find in oceanic samples, and both of those were in Lake Erie.
And how much do we know, Sherry, about how all of this plastic is ending up in the Great Lakes?
Well, there's always ongoing investigations about that, but I mean the reality is it's those pieces of plastic that we see lying along the side of the road, that we see, you know, floating in the air. It's the litter in the ground. It makes its way, you know, down storm drains. Storm drains are very different than, say, like a sewage system. A sewage, you know, system goes through a wastewater treatment plant, so there's the possibility that the plastics could be removed. But storm drains don't. They typically just discharge directly into a nearby water body. And so that plastic bag that you see blowing in the wind will eventually make its way into our water supply and travel and break down into smaller and smaller pieces as it goes. One thing about plastics I think that's really important to note is that unlike many materials, they don't biodegrade. They will photodegrade, so they'll break apart, they'll get brittle, and they'll break into smaller and smaller pieces, but the integrity of the polymer molecule is maintained. So it never really goes away. So every plastic that we've ever produced, since the 1950s, is still on this planet somewhere. And what's scary is that as we're investigating this issue, whether we're talking about the oceans or the Great Lakes, is we're discovering that quite a bit of that plastic is in our water.
Very quickly, Sherry, we've got to wrap up. What are your summer research plans?
So this summer we're going back out on the lakes. We're going to be looking at Lake Erie again because it was, you know, the most concentrated of the ones that we looked at last summer.
Okay.
But I also have plans to be in the St. Lawrence Seaway and Lake Ontario, kind of the next step down from Lake Erie. We might expect to see Lake Ontario has higher concentrations than Lake Erie. And then the St. Lawrence Seaway, we're really curious how much of what we find in the Great Lakes is actually flowing out into the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay, we've got to leave it there, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, that's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Sherry Mason teaches chemistry at State University of New York at Fredonia. Her research focuses on plastic pollution in the Great Lakes. Thanks again.
Thank you.